CliffCentral.com.
Oh, yeah. Love, 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 love this woman. If she were in my life as my girlfriend or wife, I would make her sing the whole time and I'd be the happiest person in the universe. Honey, I'll tell you what. You just sit over there and sing. I'll do everything else. I'll bring everything you need. Just do that whole da-da-da-da-da. I'm happy with that. Life is good.
Just do that whole da-da-da-da-da thing.
She could sing. This woman. Oh! What a voice. I would put Alicia Keys in my top five. I love the sound of her voice. She's probably not top five of the best singers of all time, but I love that voice. There's something about it. There's not a song she's ever done that I thought was crap. Not a syllable she's uttered that was rubbish.
Oh, let me start a war. Her over Beyonce for me every day.
Of course.
Every single day.
Oh, I'm with you 100%. Sia's going to disagree.
Of course he will.
Just trying to.
Over to you, Sia.
I'm really holding on to myself. Hold up. Are we all still just looking at vocals?
What else is there?
Just in terms everything. Of listening, sound, I would much rather listen to Alicia Keys than Beyonce sing. Me.
But like, this isn't something you say at your other job, right?
What do you mean, Ben?
Oh, you can't say this with Anil, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no.
You will get sad in the eye.
I know, you know my what? Place.
You're all allowed to, you're all entitled to your own opinion, even though it's wrong. Right. So.
Okay.
Even though it's wrong. She's still going makeupless. Alicia Keys?
Yeah,
it's a whole thing that she's
But guys, doing. It's also quite difficult to compare because Alicia Keys sings, okay? She's making music.
Beyonce
is a brand who makes hits.
Because
her music is like cheese. It's not there for a while. It's just there for now.
I'm not trying to be that person, but honestly, if you like just take all the commercial hits out of the way and you listen to like her vocal range,
Michelle was better.
Yay!
Michelle was better. That's why
don't start World War VII on a Monday morning.
Beyonce put Michelle in the back because she heard Michelle every now and again going, she's the best got talent. And she put her in the back there and she made it dance off key.
You know, there was this trend on Twitter over the weekend. So long story short, this 18-year-old girl kind of had a fight with her best friend. And the level of pettiness because of that fight was this girl now posted a picture where she looked so stunning, but she hated the fact that her friend was in that picture. So she did like this shoddy job at editing her friend out of the picture. So now everyone started doing that, just posting these ridiculous pictures with horrible, you know, photoshopping.
That's a sign of a very weak mind.
Yeah, people it's
who
pettiness.
Edit someone out of their pictures. I mean, I know people who have ex-boyfriends and ex-girlfriends on their Facebook feed because they, you know, they might have dated them for a while. It's part of your life where you edit people out. It's like when Stalin would take Trotsky out of all the pictures to try and rewrite history. It's just the most asinine and childish and egotistical thing you could do.
Oh, I'll admit full on it's petty. So for example, there was a picture that, you know, Beyonce posted a while ago, but people through horrible investigation, because that's what people do on Twitter, found out that she cropped out Michelle out of it as well. And I'm like, actually,
How dare she?
Listen, I'm not saying this is the greatest, most rational thing to do, but I'm that petty as well. I just crop people out if
you
I look
do?
Good. Oh yeah. No, not like for like petty reasons, but like if, for example, we take a group photo and you happen to have like, you know, one eye closed or you weren't looking at the camera. Yeah. Oh, I take you off.
No, I get that.
Because I need to.
All right. It's Monday morning. People have got a full week ahead of them today. So we thought we'd fill you in with some of the news. Ben spent the weekend improving his mind. He's been watching documentaries and reading stuff. And see, when you. Yeah, when you have zero to do. And you find really great things to do. It just feels like you're adding value to your own and the rest of the world. Your own life and the rest of the world.
Yeah, so just getting back to documentaries, I watched this really great documentary about what happens after porn. Like people who have worked and lived in porn, like where do they go from porn?
Yeah. Oh, I thought like after filming a scene or something. Like I didn't know where you were going there.
It is one of the most depressing things. Now, if you've seen the movie Boogie Nights, apart from Mark Wahlberg's giant prosthetic penis.
Yeah.
One of the other sort of subplots in there is this couple, they're just trying to set themselves straight, but they can't get a bank loan to buy a house. They can't get jobs. They can't get this and that because mm-hmm. they're just been doing porn for so long.
Oh, so they're discriminated against.
Completely, Mub. So real life in this documentary, they take about 6 or 7 people. They showcase their lives from across the way. Pretty much 99% of all women get into porn because of parental issues, daddy yeah. issues. Mm. That cliche is strong. And then the guys, they get in porn, they linger. And of course, guys being guys, they have an easier run of it. And they've got like longer careers and, you know, they're not quite as shunned in society. But mostly across the board, they're shunned. This one woman moved to Utah to try to get away from because porn's illegal there. Mm-hmm. And even then, she could never, ever escape her past. So the documentary goes and it's like, okay, well, this is them getting into porn. This is them in porn. And then towards the end, they're like, you know, I've had a good career, but I'm quite keen to take the next step now, blah, blah, blah. And then right at the end of the documentary, it's like, so-and-so is still in porn. So-and-so went bankrupt. She went back to porn.
You see.
So you can never get away from it. It's like being a complete and utter meth head. You can never get away from this life that you've chosen. And people get into so easy thinking, it's porn. I'll do it for a couple of years. But you never, ever shed porn.
This, what you've just mentioned, is an excellent argument for that belief that, you know, people choose to get into porn because they want to. It sounds to me like a lot of them end up there because it's a survival mechanism.
Well, look, this one story, literally, this girl was 17, right? Dad came home one day and said, get out of the house right now. You're no longer my daughter.
Why?
Well,
do we know?
She didn't go into it, but I mean, what could you possibly do that would warrant such a behavior? Nothing. Anyway, so she's on the street, right? She got no money. She's 17. She's got like no friends, no family. And then one day this guy comes to her and goes, look, there's this guy in this apartment block down the way. He'll give you $50 to have sex with him. Mm. So she's got nothing, right? Nothing. She can't even eat. So what's she going to do?
She's going to survive.
She's going to take $50. She's going to survive.
Right.
From there, then it's like another guy wants to film her having sex for $100. And now you're in porn.
And now you're in porn. And how do you get out of it?
And then what they say is that because porn's quite a close-knit industry, right? It's the family that none of these people ever had.
Yeah, so they form a community.
They form a community. And then it's like, well, you can't go because this is your family now.
Sure.
And your friends are all porn stars.
So. Exactly.
Yeah,
and then you get like the father figures, the guys who are the directors, the photographers, the producers.
And it's like crack because you get addicted to, you know, if you're hanging around those people, the only people who will accept you and treat you decently. And they're the only people that make you feel good. And they're always partying and pretending their lives are great.
They're the only people who understand you. That's another thing. People want to be understood. But these people get to the point where, okay, I need to get away from porn, right? Yeah. But they spend their prime in porn. So they haven't upskilled anything else. Mm. So they want to get a job. But then it's like, okay, well, your CV is porn. And people, obviously, with the stereotypes and church rule, that kind of stuff, whoa.
I think like religion could make a positive contribution. I really do believe that there's good in even the things that I don't necessarily agree with. And in this case, I would love to see some of these people can replace that bad place that they're in with a good place, you know, with Jesus or with Muhammad or with Buddha or whatever the hell it has to be. And the religious institutions should be welcoming to these people. Instead, what they do is they chase them further away. They say to them, well, I'm afraid with your past, you're not allowed in here.
Well, it does go to different extremes because then it's like, well, now you must announce Jesus as your one and only savior and turn your back and reborn, all that kind of stuff.
You know what? If that helps them to cleanse themselves, if it helps them to get out of an ugly situation, I don't have a problem with it.
Sure. But then, you know, you got to ask this the question is like people go, oh, prostitution, that must be dreadful. But the thing is, you can hide prostitution. Porn sticks with you forever, right? You're on websites, you're on DVDs, you're on people's.
But, I mean, unless you're one of the big stars. Because how many people are actually in porn that if you walked past them on the street, you wouldn't immediately recognize, ooh, that's, you know, Big Bell Booty 56.
I was at Sexpo for the amateur strip, which we do every year. It's hysterical. You know, people from the crowd come up and they take off their clothes. And some of them really get into it.
Did you win this year?
I don't take part. I just play the music and kind of say rude things.
Yeah.
But...
and say rude things.
There was a porn star there. There was a porn star at the show. I didn't know who she was. I used to know this stuff because I was a dude. I used to think that it was cool to know these things. Plus, I have to be honest. I mean, like, I was I was kind of interested in who the big stars were. So I would have known this girl's name maybe 5 to 10 years ago. I didn't know her. She's quite a big star. And what Mubs is saying is true. Like, how would you know some cam girl who you might even have seen her online? You wouldn't recognize her in the street.
Especially because when you meet her in the street, she doesn't have all that makeup on.
Yeah.
She's probably got a ponytail with some tracksuit pants on. Like, you wouldn't recognize her from that scene.
I think we're all going to end up, everyone's going to end up being a porn star, and then no one will care anymore. But what I mean is, eventually there's going to be a naked picture or a video of just about everyone on Earth. Hmm. There's going to be something.
Scary thought.
No, because by then, no one's going to care anymore. I mean, like, think about how when the Paris Hilton or the Pamela Anderson sex tapes came out,
yeah,
what a big deal it was. Mm. Remember?
Mm. Yeah.
Biggest deal ever. Then Kim Kardashian, it kind of, you know, people were like, all right, yeah, whatever. These days, I mean, Misha Barton's about, she's got her porn tape out there. It's just, we're waiting for it to be released. But no one's going to be queuing at the cinema to see that. You know, it's become just very ordinary, and I'm thinking it's going to become even more ordinary.
But the whole thing about like, you won't recognize a porn star, that's fine, that's not the issue here. It's when the porn star wants to have a different life. Okay, so you go through different checks, then it's like, okay, so looking at your CV, it's like if you had I don't know, childcare. So it's like, you know, I've been in porn for the last 20 years, but I've always had a passion for teaching. I really want to work in this junior school. Okay, cool. No, you can't work with children. Yeah. You've been a porn star. Obviously, they're going to say that. And then it's like, okay, well, teaching was kind of my only out. So now I can't do that. I'm going to go back to porn.
That follows you.
Yeah.
That's why it's like, it's, and most likely the chances are, you know, it doesn't matter for anyone else, but probably for that one person in a bunch of 10 who really wants to make an effort just to look after kids or, you know, to work at a charity organization where they'll be shunned just because of that, because somewhere, somehow, word will get around or the video will resurface. It's just like those.
And people love a gossip story.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my. You know, that one teacher?
Yes.
I've seen her in porn.
Well, that's the thing, is the very same people shunning them are watching them online.
That's so exactly what one of them said. It's like for years you've been masturbating to me. I've been giving you so much pleasure, but now I can't even get employed.
I'm not good enough.
Now I'm just discarded. Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I really do think this stuff is going to become, who cares? It has to, right? It has to, because it doesn't matter. Just because we have technology these days, which makes it possible for everybody to take a picture of everything and film everything, and, you know, people are obsessed with generating their own content. It's just a matter of time. You know, 100 years ago, people were behaving just as badly.
Yeah.
They just didn't have the technology to make it possible. You know, you couldn't go down the road and have a photograph developed on Kodak film. It just didn't make sense. Now, it's all over the place. I think eventually we're just going to get tired of it. It's just going to become boring. It'll be like
the norm.
Yeah, it'll be like going to a CD shop turned into downloading stuff off the internet. And people don't care that they don't pay for music anymore. They don't care. They've moved on. Next paradigm, please. Anyway, you also watched something about Arnold, and Arnold Schwarzenegger comes up quite a lot in our discussion.
You spent a lot of time watching.
But guys, it actually wasn't. It's just that, like, what I watched, I thought was so impactful and so interesting. I spent maybe, I don't know, 6 hours watching TV this weekend, but it was over 3 days, and the stuff was really good. But Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? So on Friday, Gareth was talking about how the fact is he wants to do something, he did it. He's like a real success story. He was this guy from Austria. He wanted to go to America. He wanted to be the biggest, strongest guy in the world. But he had something so special about him, because there's a documentary, right? It's called Pumping Iron or whatever. And it's in the 70s around Arnold. Mm. So Arnold went to Gold's Gym with a whole bunch of other beefcakes, right? And these guys are all big, strong, and dedicated and throwing weights around. But like, Arnold firstly looked better. He was stronger and he had charisma. Everyone loved him. Yeah. Even his like biggest opponents, right? Who were always like, they were like shouting his name when they're like, they're pushing the iron because they wanted to beat him. And then he walks into a room and these guys, some of them were even bigger than Arnold. Arnold just made them melt, because when he arrived, everyone was second place. he won like 7 Mr. Universes in a row or something.
7.
And this whole documentary culminates of him being here in Pretoria in 1975, I think it is, and he's just about to win this thing again. And he walks into the room, and the guy was incredible, just absolutely incredible. And he looked so natural. Like, he was big, strong, all that kind of stuff, but everything about him. And he said, like, if I want bigger arms, I've got to then make my shoulders, my delts, all that kind of stuff incrementally bigger.
And this was before steroids and all of that shit, right?
Yeah, I guess so. But
anyway, he just
fascinating guy.
He commented over the weekend, and I don't follow him on Facebook, but somebody sent me a screenshot of this thing. Some guy went onto Arnold's Facebook page and commented the following. Said, the Special Olympics makes no sense. The Olympics are for the best athletes in the entire world to compete against each other to determine who's the best. Having retards competing is doing the opposite. And you know, Arnold is an ambassador for this. I mean, his mother-in-law, Shriver, Kathleen, I think it's Kathleen Shriver. She is the founder of the Special Olympics.
Right.
And Arnold said the following. I just think, you know, again, this shows you the kind of what the real person is all about, because all we know about him is, you know, we take the piss and we've got these action movies and The Maid and all that stuff. But listen to this. This is, to me, this is the mark of a really decent human being. As stupid and evil as this comment is, says Arnold, I'm not going to delete it or ban you. Yet, because it's a teachable moment. You have two possible paths ahead. Right now, I can guarantee you that these athletes have more courage, compassion, brain, skill, actually more of every positive human quality than you.
True.
So, he says, take their path. You could learn from them. Try to challenge yourself, to give back, to add something to the world. Or, you can stay on your path and keep being a sad, pitiful, jealous internet troll who adds nothing to the world but mocks anyone who does out of small-minded jealousy. I know what you really want is attention, so let me be clear. If you choose to keep going this way, no one will ever remember you.
So powerful, huh?
So don't think Arnold is just this brawny dude who's blacked out and, you know, through just drive and determination, become the best. There's a brain there, too, that works very hard behind the scenes.
And a great human understanding of a lot of things.
Yeah, he does such good work. So, I mean, it's fun to take the piss out of the guy, but I like that. I really thought that was special. And it made me very impressed to read him defending that stuff.
Which is so right. And again, like the Special Olympics, the Paralympics, whatever people call it, that's like more Olympics than most things nowadays, because they are complete amateurs. This is the pinnacle of what they can do as humans. It's a great thing.
I just feel that like these things don't carry as much weight, though. You know, with our new Miss South Africa yesterday being crowned, it's like all of these great big things back in the heyday really don't make a difference much these days. You know, the Paralympics, the Olympics, no one even wants now. Miss SA, is it really even a big thing?
Well, also, like, we get older, so it has less significance. Because it's like the novelty factor's done.
But you have, like, nieces and nephews. I'm sure your nieces weren't, you know, circling the TV last night, waiting with bated breath to see who the new Miss SA is.
No, cause look, when Miss SA was huge back when Mnet had open time. And we had nothing to do as humans other than wait until 5 o'clock. And then the screen would go from blurry to like, hey, it's open time. Here comes the magic.
But also, you know, things expire over time. I mean, I stand to be corrected, but I think last night was the 59th annual Miss SA. So when when they were busy with the 10th annual Miss SA, it was still a big deal because it was still new. It was exciting. But now it's the 59th and you're like, oh, okay.
But also like
over it. But things expire over time.
But then you got to reinvent it, right? So 59th, okay. There's been many things that have been 59 years in the running. But if it's just the whole time, it's like, okay, these 12 women are going to be, one of them is going to be Miss SA. Okay, cool. But I've seen that like 10 times.
Yes.
What's the reinvention?
What's new?
What's the next installment of this? How, you know, if it was an amazing race and Miss SA maybe has to try get from Joburg to Sun City on her own, you know, that's like a new category. It's like, well, this year we're doing well with the swimsuit category. Oh, but we're getting the Maze to Race category. Yeah.
No.
And she has to haggle with taxi drivers. She has to run.
Shame.
In the back of a truck.
No, yeah, some things just, I wonder, will they all just be put to bed? Because after a while, it's just like, no, there is no relevance anymore.
Yeah, but if they've got sponsors, they've got an event.
Yeah, and if they have people who are interested, I mean, in my mind, you are always going to have girls entering this competition.
Sure.
Because, you know, it's just another way to, it's another leg up for them. You know, a lot of these girls end up to do amazing things that the pageant served as a stepping stone for them to do so.
Exactly. Because like they lay on a year for you where you do amazing things where you're in the profile, right? Plus you got R1 million to start with.
Yeah. When you actually put it that way. Yeah. Cause a prize is worth like R1 million plus.
You've got R1 million and you're going to collect some pretty amazing contacts with all the people you're going to meet during your reign
that
you can use after the fact.
So it's Miss Networking.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly. So going back to the original discussion about porn, when Miss SA goes to a big corporate and goes, hi, I'd like to work on your HR department. They go, I see you've worked with people. This is really good.
Mm.
Much better than say, well, I've got 7 videos and I was in Sexpo last year.
I've also worked with people in porn. You know, I was nice to the crew. I was extra nice to the person I started in the scene with. You know, just look at it from a different angle.
Extra nice.
Extra nice.
I took it beyond and above the call.
They got a happy ending in more ways than one.
From a Sipping Tea follower. Hey, Gareth, a Sipping Tea podcast not produced anymore. Last podcast dates back to 7 March. Marbs, do you want to help us out here?
Come on.
Do you want to?
Don't make it sound controversial.
The show is going to come to an end.
Yeah.
No.
Between Dumi and myself, we have other commitments that no longer allow us to be able to produce the show. We will have one final farewell show, and then that will be it.
All right.
Don't do that.
Okay.
But were you going to announce this, or were you just going to have people didn't know this?
No, we are going to still.
It's a deal. Listen, people have got nothing. I hate to break this to everybody, but nothing lasts forever.
What?
This show is going to end one day.
It is?
Of course it is.
What?
No. Sooner rather than later.
No.
Yes. I do not want to be doing this for the rest of my life.
We'll know, right? You won't just bring it up on us on a Monday, just like tomorrow.
Look, you'll know maybe 4 or 5 days in advance.
Oh.
Okay, well, you know what we should do?
Bring your swimsuits. It's the last show.
We should put together a show bucket list. What do we want to do from here on until it ends? We can't just keep working and all of a sudden go, guys, so by the way, next week.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
So let's put down things we must do before
that. I got such a nice compliment from somebody. Someone emailed me over the weekend. Let me see if I can find it.
You know, we also haven't gotten to one particular email, which you've been dying to. Wendell's email.
Yeah, I think that's in my bag.
It's somewhere here.
Yeah.
It's so. I actually like the idea of a show bucket list, hey?
Yeah, it's a good idea. I'll get Wendell's email. I have to find the goddamn thing.
Okay.
But I can't find this one either. This guy was so nice. He said, you know, people don't really take stock of stuff, but he started listening to me when I was still doing talk radio on 702, and then he listened to me on 5, and he said, you know, the little things that nobody really takes notice of that we've changed in radio, and I mean, Mubs was a big part of this journey too. You remember, we were the first people to interrupt the news with like opinions and sound clips and laughing, and like we didn't treat it as a news broadcast. We had an opening news sting and a closing news sting, and we would discuss it like normal people discuss the news.
Mm-hmm.
And that never happened before us. I didn't think about it. I didn't pay any attention to this. But now every other DJ is doing that kind of thing in the news.
That's so awkward.
We never ever had that before our show came along. Little things like asking guests about their sex lives. Nobody ever did that before. Not in the way that we did. It was just very like matter of fact. So, how was your weekend? Who are you banging? You know?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And discussing each other's feelings in a very real way, like most radio shows would be, hey, Mabali, how was your weekend? Did you behave? Kind of thing. And for us, if your answer wasn't funny, then you had failed in radio. For us, though, it was, you might have had a terrible weekend, and you would say, I had a terrible weekend. You wouldn't do shtick, you know?
Mm.
People didn't do that before. Now they're all trying to do it. It gave me a moment to pause and reflect, and I don't want to talk about our show so much, but since Sia seems upset that some things don't last forever.
Yeah, can we not? Okay. Can we at least have a job for the next 2 years?
I have to give credit to the audience for getting it.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many people who don't have an appreciation for irony and for creativity and all of that stuff. They think they do, but a lot of people don't. They're very literal. And we could never have done what we did if there weren't a really smart core audience at the heart of all of this. And obviously that smart core of the audience is the audience that moved here with us to Cliff Central. So I'm very happy about that.
Okay. Right, I still want to do a show drunk. All right. Putting it out there. Bucket list.
Thank you. One shot in front of you.
Yes.
Thank you, Ben, for asking if Mubs was ever going to let us know. And Michael from Stellenbosch says, Gareth, can you please reread Arnold's reply in his accent? No, because it somehow makes it like less serious. And it was one shining moment where Arnold was making a lot of sense and being serious. It doesn't hurt that Alicia Keys, we were talking about Alicia Keys about half an hour ago, is nice to look at. Beyonce doesn't even compare. Alicia is superior in every way. Oh. Carl and Josie.
Oh, Carl.
It's a preference thing. It's totally fine. It's completely fine. We don't all have to love Beyonce. We don't all have to love Alicia Keys. It's perfectly fine. Don't get worked, Jap.
It's fine. I'll try. I'll try.
This is not a life and death decision.
Yeah, really.
If you're a Beyonce fan, this is not going to determine the course of your life from here on in.
You know, it's just like you just get frustrated when people just don't see the obvious. But okay, it's
you fine. Shouldn't get frustrated. Beyonce doesn't even know that you exist. Don't get frustrated on her behalf.
You know, Alicia Keys didn't FaceTime a cancer patient last week.
That is such a publicity stunt. I mean, that poor cancer patient to be used as a prop in a PR campaign is outrageous. You know, if she really cared about them, she would just do it without anyone knowing.
No, she just happened to FaceTime.
Yeah, she just happened to FaceTime it.
Hey, listen,
and then tell everybody she did it.
Today is quite a big day, you know, because we still haven't gotten to some of the other news stories. We were talking earlier about how it's a 5-day week and some of us are going to be looking at it and thinking, oh my gosh, it's going to be hard. But at least you're not Henry van Breda.
Oh, really?
Well, he is back in court this morning, Gareth, because his trial officially begins.
Okay.
2 years after his parents and brother were killed with an axe, Henry van Breda will go on trial in the Western Cape High Court today. Now, he is charged with 3 counts of murder, 1 of attempted murder, and 1 of obstructing the course of justice. He is in quite a bit of trouble, isn't he?
Well, my question is still why it's taken so long. I mean, maybe they've been gathering up evidence and we'll see it now. I hope that this trial gets as much attention as Pistorius trial, because this is even more gruesome and bloody and terrible.
Well, that's what everyone's asking. Is this going to be on TV? Is this going to be, I mean, we as savvy criminal minds,
yes,
which we have proven time and time again in this country.
Yes, we are.
Are we going to be in the courtroom, so to speak?
Look, there obviously isn't an entire channel dedicated to the Van Breda case. Like
discrimination!
There was, there was an entire channel for Oscar Pistorius's crime with analysts who would sit around a table every day breaking down points of argument. Oh, do you remember those days?
Lawyers with great hairstyles getting potential media attention.
I mean, I think the best we can hope for...
I put it to you.
I think the best we can hope for Henry is journalists who will be tweeting from inside the court. That's the best we'll get. So if you have the time to be following all these journalists' timelines, then that's how you're going to get... You know, that's how you're going to follow the trial.
But exactly, like, who's going to be the next Barry Bateman? Yeah, Barry Bateman was thrust into our lives on the Oscar trial.
He had hundreds of thousands of followers by the end of it.
He wrote a book. He was a household name.
And he did deserve it. He covered it better than anyone.
He is great, yeah.
He and probably Karen Morn after a couple of drinks. She was good,
after a couple of drinks.
Definitely after a couple of drinks. But, I mean, the two of them, they made Oscar Pistorius a story.
Yeah, of course they did.
Our moral compass.
They were our moral compass.
They put life into the trial. But now, this is taking so long, correct me if I'm wrong, because they literally are getting character witnesses, or they've got like 150 people giving testimony or something.
Do we need all those people when there isn't another suspect?
When it's...
But exactly.
Yeah, actually, hold up. Who is... Then if Henry didn't do it, who did?
What, the axe just fell miraculously from the ceiling?
No, you guys. Somebody broke into their house. Do What are you missing here?
It's like when I was attacked.
It's the exact same situation. It's meowses. It's meowses.
Meowses did not kill the Funbradar family.
Anything between 1 and 4 thieves broke into the Funbradar home and they killed 3 people. They injured Marley, and Henry was just the lucky one. Okay?
Yeah.
But don't be like this.
If you're the advocate, right, and you go, oh, shit, this is such an open shut case, but how am I going to get 3 weeks' pay out of this? I mean, do you go with the Tokolosh defense straight away?
Can I just sort
My lady, I put it to you, the Tokolosh has been spotted in the winelands.
Shockingly inappropriate for what's happened in this matter. Shockingly inappropriate.
Huh. Can I just call something already? Because there was minding my own business, and I was like, I know about this Henry von Bradar trial. We've been speaking about it for a long time. But today was actually the very first time where I saw Henry in a bunch of different pictures.
Oh, yeah?
And I don't want to sound like a freak, but I'm already calling people who will be on his bandwagon of like, oh, let him live, let him be.
Do you think he's good looking?
Because he's kind of cute. There's just a kind of...
Really?
There's a kind of cuteness to
it. I didn't pick you for liking the bad boys, yeah?
It's not a bad boy thing, but I also feel disgusted on the count that he kind of reminds me of Eric Trump as well.
Wow. This guy's good luck going for him.
No. I'm not saying I find Eric Trump handsome, but I don't know. Maybe it's just cleaned up well, and in court, you're in a suit, and it's a...
All right. You're one of those women who writes letters to murderers and death row.
I kind of see it happening. And he's my age, and I'm just like, what's a little axe murderer?
Between hot friends. You reckon he's good looking, though? Seriously?
He's not the hottest thing on earth.
Yes, not by a long shot.
But at the same time... If he gets into prison, he'll be called Marshmallow or something. Just as like
I can
this.
Just imagine you're in prison, you and your gang.
No,
you've got all this muscle behind you, and you're like,
Sia would be in charge.
So who's this?
You would.
Who's this new tall glass of water in my cell?
Sia would have a bottom bitch, and he'd have a bunch of other women, or men, they call women, because that's how they talk about each other in prison. And you have a whole bunch of them working for him.
I need a tough name, though.
No, you wouldn't have to because you've got all the muscle behind you.
Ah, so I'm like the ringleader.
No, you're just a quiet...
Yeah, you'll be the ringleader, Sia.
Oh, I'm
Yeah, you'll be leading the ring.
I'm done with that. I'm down. I can do that. Cool. Yeah, okay. Shame, Henry. You see, I'm already feeling shame for him.
You're
okay,
saying shame.
I'll keep quiet on this topic from here on out.
All right. I mentioned that I was at Sexpo on Saturday, and John T. from the Sex Show, I didn't see him because I think he'd closed his stand by then. But Palesa was there. Palesa, please come in here. People need to know. Palesa was there the whole day on Friday, and we warned her. I did warn you, and I did tell everybody else, Dari and Greg and everybody else, to look after you because we knew that this was a novel experience, but you'd never been to Sexpo before. You didn't know what you were in for, huh?
Yeah, well...
How did you do? I mean, were you okay? Did you need counseling over the weekend?
I think I still do need counseling. I'm not over it.
Oh, no.
I'm still going through the most.
All right, what did you see, experience, and hear?
Here was me... What I heard was me sitting next to John T and him explaining everything. On what to do to a woman.
Squirting and stuff, right.
And then they were like, Greg and Dory were like, oh, maybe you need to walk around, look at stuff. Oh my goodness, I regretted that. I saw a whole lot of toys that I didn't want to see. And then after everything around 3, because the show's ended at 3, we went around to John T's stand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah!
We saw him work his magic.
Oh, really? Did you see him doing the
literally?
Thing?
And he worked a body.
Hey!
And his videos, we watched those.
Oh, man.
And then...
Okay, but what exactly? Because he always makes it sound... And I'm not trying to degrade the work that he does, but he always makes it sound very above the board. So he says it's like a sensual massage, but I'm like, honestly, massage where?
Honestly, John T is...
With what? And
I don't know if it's safe to say this.
Go on.
He's the sex. He's the sex god.
Yes,
like he gives
women I suppose you could call it a vaginal massage,
mm-hmm.
and he stimulates them and does all his stuff until they eventually have these outrageous orgasms.
Yeah,
wow.
We went to that theater, to his theater, and
was it very loud?
It
from
was
the crowd
sports.
Or from the participants?
From
what
the
are you asking,
from the
Mabale?
Participant.
Okay.
What was on the scale of moaning? Like, how much was this participant enjoying?
On a scale of 1 to 10,
it
was a 9.
Ooh.
I saw love squirting and I was like, no, I can't do this. I didn't sign up for this.
Wow. What incredible.
It was.
I'm sorry that you had to be traumatized.
Yeah, well.
And I think just for the next week or two, you should not be involved in the sex show. You've got enough other work.
She needs a cleansing. Yeah. But hold up. Are we talking like Magic Mike looking people, or are we talking like...
What, hot looking people?
This, yeah.
Ooh, it was just that guy who looked so hot.
Who's this guy?
He came to Jonty's show, I think.
Uh-huh.
A few weeks back, and he was also part of Casper's Boys of Cliff Central or something.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
All right.
And, you know and who I'm talking about,
what,
right, my
buddy? What happened?
No, he's just...
Oh, he was just there?
No, he looks so hot.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
So a male stripper.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
All
right.
Oh.
I saw the show that they booked from Australia. These guys called The Thunder from Down Under. Now listen to this.
Gosh,
really? This is like a Chip and Dale.
Yeah. So Sean, who organizes Sexpo, said to me, "You have to see these guys. They're like the world's most famous male strippers." And there was a crowd. I kid you not, a 2,000 people strong crowd sitting in the top floor of the Sandton Convention Center, like it was a concert.
Mm.
Not, there's not some little nasty club with two stripper poles in it. These guys, they dance, they have outfits, it's a proper production.
Mm, okay.
They do a whole extraordinarily well choreographed, produced show. I was very impressed. I have
really
to tell you, very, very impressed. And it's just a different level of performance. These guys apparently spend most of the year in Vegas doing their show there, but they travel the world. They've been on The Tonight Show. They've been on all the major talk shows in America. They've been on Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
They're world famous. You look these guys up and it's incredible. Like women go, it's the weirdest thing to sit there and listen because girls just know when to scream. Like, I wouldn't know when to scream.
It's true. There's always an upward inflection at some point.
Right. I was sitting next to Sean and his girlfriend, and then on the other side of me, there was a slightly older lady who was actually there. She was kind of checking out the show to see whether or not they wanted to get involved with kind of bringing it here again and all that sort of thing. And there were...
So she's there for business.
Right.
Yeah.
We had like the first row. So we were sitting right in front. We got to see the whole show.
Oh, so you got like baby oil.
No, luckily not.
Okay.
But it's not a... Like, they never show penis,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? So it's just a really,
boo.
It's a great dance show. It's not like Iman Rapetti and Jeremy Maggs at the newsstand, where he's making hamburgers and stuff.
Gosh.
Mubs, you would love it. These guys are just so good at entertaining everybody. And I was sitting there, what happens is the guys... You know, obviously they'll like rip their shirts and stuff, and then the girls scream.
Yes,
but all the girls know how to scream at the right time, at the same time. And I said to Sean, "How do they know? How do the girls know instinctively that they must all scream at that moment?"
Because we are prompted to do so, and this is when you know that it's a mark of a good show. I mean, these guys, and you know,
they know what the triggers are.
They and their choreographers, right, or whatever, they all know exactly what to do to prompt that response from a crowd.
Hmm.
Has it got to do with pelvic position?
No. Sometimes the guy. Here's the weird thing. Sometimes the guys are fully clothed in like a fireman's outfit,
mm-hmm.
and he's got an axe, and he's wearing that stupid fireman's hat, which is
plastic most, something from a most, kiddie store.
That's the yeah. most, but no, the real thing. They these guys, they spend money on the wardrobe and on the whole thing. Yeah, they got sponsors. It's huge. This is a multi-million dollar show that they put on. They're wearing this fireman's outfit. The guy walks up, no screaming. He like moves the axe slightly from one shoulder to the other, and the girls go, exactly the right moment. They all do the same thing. So it doesn't have to do with level of nudity. Because let me tell you again that this to me is something that everyone on earth has got to work towards. The ugliest piece of clothing in the whole of human existence is a male G-string. It looks ridiculous. It does not, even on the best body in the world, it looks stupid.
Stupid, it does.
It looks like a guy wearing panties. It's dumb. Guys in like really good underwear, fine. I could understand how that would look good. But in a G-string, no man, Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime couldn't have looked good in a G-string. It's a stupid piece of clothing. Should be banned.
It looks silly on a guy.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. There's no one I've ever met who said, you know, what men need to do more is wear G-strings. Terrible outfits, but these girls just know exactly when to scream. And they don't scream when it's the G-string. They scream at like the strangest time. It just shows you that men and women, some of us, some of the ways we behave are so instinctive and have nothing to do with the thought process. It's just an immediate reaction.
But I mean, also, you know, it plays into the whole fantasy thing because, you know damn well that your husband or your boyfriend are never going to give you a show like that ever. It's just not going to happen. Yeah. So it's also that whole thing of feeding into the fantasy.
Sure.
That whole moment of a man ripping his shirt open and out pop the pecs and you see the six pack. I mean, that's something that's also been used to condition women in a certain way. You only see it in the movies or you see it on stage when you're watching the guys from, you know, the Thunder from Down Under.
So what you're
saying, when you see that, it's a trigger and the instinct is.
So in other words, the people who put the show together are extraordinary emotional manipulators.
Sure. It all comes into play.
And is it cheesy though? Like, do they have,
I mean, it will,
whipped cream
you,
and they
you know
spray
what
it on
is?
Your
it's
neck
in,
or something?
In that moment, in that setting, it's exciting, which is why women react that way.
And it's
but if
all
it's,
the women, by the way.
Yeah.
The girls are like grabbing their friends, going, oh my God, this is the most exciting thing. They're like, they're excited en masse. It's not as if they want that guy to themselves. They want to share this experience with all the other women.
Yeah. So in that setting, it's part of the excitement in the production. But if it's back at home in your bedroom with your man, he's going to look silly when he does it. It's going to look cheesy. It's the same way that we try to look sexy in lingerie. But you really, you just feel like an idiot. Like, you feel stupid.
Well, so going back to the amateur strip, did the guy with the thimble penis win again?
Always. You know what happened? Yeah. Okay, here's what happens. The girls.
No, he's got like minus an inch.
It's not the same guy, Sia. But what happens is that the girls get up on the stage and they, the girl who can move the best and the girl who strips down to the sexiest final outfit, if it's a pair of panties maybe, or panties and a bra or nothing, it depends. She usually
wins.
Do
some people go all the way down?
This is the point.
Let us.
The guys for the amateur strip, and there were like 15 dudes who came up there. And it ranges. There's like an old guy. There's a fat guy. There's a young guy. There's a thin guy. There's a beefy dude. All these different guys come up. They're always drunk people. Most of them are drunk.
That was going to be my next question. Okay.
They get on the stage, and then the guy who wins is the guy who strips down to zero and has the worst body every time. Every time.
Last time I was sex, 3 years ago.
You could have the hottest dude in the world up there with the best body on earth and great dance moves and everything else. He will lose to the guy with the gunt and with the tiny little thimble penis every time, because people just love that dude. They're like, this guy's fearless. Confidence wins every time.
They almost want to reward him for being brave enough to do that, even though we all know very well that, okay, you look terrible.
And no one would,
you didn't let that stop you.
Like, no one wanted to meet him after the show and congratulate him. In fact, I think he walked down into the crowd with no clothes on afterwards.
Now, were there cheers from people during this part of the day?
They, Loved it.
Sure. Really?
They go crazy. It's the most popular thing at Sexpo.
But it really is quite a thing, because when I saw this and the guy with the thimble penis, he won it, they got a big screen behind him, right? And so they get a camera and he gets out in front and they zoom into where his penis essentially should be. And everyone is now screaming because they're zooming so far in, it's pixelating, but it's there somewhere. And he's just hands in the air and he's just giving it the big ones and his penis is like,
Oh,
everyone's
no.
like, they can't get over the fact that the hero is a man, but his penis is, who knows?
Somewhere. It's in there somewhere.
I'm always intrigued. And I do think that if you've never been to Sexpo, you have to make an effort to do it once. You don't have to go every time. Because, I mean, it probably gets lame and not that much changes in point of fact with the stalls or any of that stuff.
Mm.
It might change the shows. And, you know, I think it's a good production. But you go because the kind of people you see there are not the kind of people you expect to see there. Do you see three or four girls, like girlfriends, going out as a group, and then they go and they laugh and they giggle and they buy a sex toy or whatever. And then you see these married couples, but like in their 50s and 60s, who clearly they still want each other, but they need a little bit of help. So they go to Sexpo to kind of reignite some fire. And that's cool. And then you see young people who are daring each other to do the amateur strip. And you see people who are just like, they're rancid. there are those people who are just, nothing surprises them or shocks them anymore. They come there to see something outrageous. They want to see like live sex or something. And those are the people you just see, they're single-minded. They walk in, they go straight to whatever it is that they want. And they're not there to mingle or meet or watch a show or anything.
and then you find people like Palesa, who are there for the first time, and they're walking around with these big Bambi eyes because they can't believe what's happening in front of them.
But ultimately, it's a lifestyle show. Like, this is how people do live, and we need to kind of incorporate these things. I think it's fantastic. It should be biannual.
I wonder how many
it
drinks
is now.
You
it is
need.
Twice a year now.
Right. Really?
Yeah, they're doing another one in October. So they do them now. I think this is the first year they're going to do two, but yeah, there we go.
That says a lot about our culture then.
Anyway, we broadcast live from there on Friday, not this show, but all the other shows on Cliff Central. And someone asked earlier if Casper De Vries is live. No, he's going to be back on Friday. He's been on a little holiday with his dogs. If you follow him on Instagram, you will have seen like pictures of him with the dogs at the beach. Very cute. Is there any news we need to pay attention to? We've got a guest coming in just now.
Right.
Maybe we should fill people in on some of the news. Anything we've left out?
Well, I mean, with the whole Van Breda issue, I see now that Marley is expected to also take the stand at some point. So, you know, people are asking, but what about the reliability of her memory? Because remember, she suffered a terrible setback from that accident where she had amnesia or some other thing.
Retrograde amnesia.
Yes.
Oh, so she's not.
But I see she's apparently going to be one of the people who will testify.
There's a bit of a backstory there, right? Because they're all huge inheritance. I would imagine she gets a big chunk more if Henry's in prison, right?
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't she get it all?
Well, exactly, Sia. So she goes in there and she's like, yeah, great, my memory's come back. It was him.
Yeah, you can't, legally you're not allowed to inherit from someone who you kill.
Legally?
Mm.
Yeah, because
you
then...
Oh, Marley, then yes, girl.
Yeah, she is on
Things
the...
Things are looking good for
she's
you.
She's on the list of the state witnesses who are expected to testify against Henry, so...
Sure. Because they've been separated, obviously.
Yeah.
They have seen each other once, but they haven't exactly been hanging out.
Under what, in what situation, though?
She was in prison. No, in prison. She was in hospital for so long.
Mm.
And then she came out, and apparently they met once.
Yeah, they did.
Like a family. Hi, how are you doing?
And
she probably ran for the hills.
Well, I mean, it would have been under very heavy, carefully planned supervision when the two of them met. Like, at no point would she have been left alone with Henry. At no point.
I wonder. She's now been placed in the care of her aunt and uncle. So, she's only 18 now. Shucks.
Hey guys, been listening to you from day one. I only listen to podcasts. It gives me the opportunity to listen to the full 3 hours when I find the time. I love all of you and how you gel so well. The best part of the show is the diversity. Especially love all the banter that goes on from a longtime fan, TA, from the most amazing city in the world, Cape Town. Isn't that nice?
From the most amazing city in the world.
Has anyone seen how Alicia Keys and Beyonce look without makeup? and then there's a red light.
Well, any woman always looks better with makeup. That's kind of the point of makeup, is to enhance features. So any woman always looks better with makeup on.
Except Halle Berry.
Who's the guy who, yeah, Halle Berry just looks good no matter what. I think you could throw rocks at her for about half an hour and she'd still end
still
up
look good.
Better than the rest of us. She's just so beautiful.
Yes.
Who is that famous guy actor who also wears makeup? There's a dude.
Jared Leto.
Is it Jared Leto? I thought it was Wolverine.
Hugh Jackman.
Someone said to me he wears makeup.
Yeah, I must have read that.
On the daily.
Yeah, like a girl would wear. Not like heavy makeup. He's not dressing up in drag.
Mm-hmm.
But he puts on like a foundation or a base or a sun protection factor with some kind of makeup ingredient in it. Just so he can look a little fresher. I was watching this movie last night, Bad Neighbors 2, which is a bit of a waste of time.
Zac Efron movie, right?
Yeah, Zac Efron.
Yeah, I watched the first one. That wasn't great.
No, and I thought Seth Rogen might save it, but what a sellout to make. This is just such a crap
The laugh gets
movie.
Annoying after it's a while.
I love Seth Rogen, but this movie is just so badly written. Like, there's no, you know exactly what's going to happen, right?
Mm. It's predictable.
It's such a calculated. You could see like researchers were involved in figuring out what the storyline would be that would give the most people satisfaction. It's like a paint-by-color movie. That's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah.
But I was looking at some of these people, the guys and the girls, and looking you're right?
Bless you.
Bless me.
And I was looking at their skin. And obviously on motion picture film, you don't do photoshopping. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
But they all look... here he goes.
Bless
again.
Me.
They all look like they look like their skins are completely flawless. Now, unless that's how someone like, I mean, it's not possible, right?
Mm-mm.
I mean, Zac Efron looks like he's never had facial hair in his life. Like he's got a baby's bum for a face in terms of just this super soft, girly skin. You know what I mean?
Mm. Mm.
Doesn't look right. And I reckon he must have been wearing quite a lot of makeup. I mean, we know that when they do movies and TV, they put on makeup.
Yeah.
But it just looked unnaturally perfect. It struck me as a very strange thing. Almost like the whole, it makes you ask what else could be fake. What else in this whole thing is just, I mean, I know it's a movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you can't look like that in real life, right?
Well, I mean, I'd be willing to bet that most of it is fake, Gareth. I mean, imagine how disappointed people were when they discovered that the Khaleesi is not the Khaleesi whenever you see her naked. It's another actress. Oh. Like, most of it is fake. Oh,
what a disappointment. I remember that day like it was 9/11. I remember where I was.
Oh, man.
I remember who I was talking to. And when I heard it was like a lead weight dropped on my head. The Khaleesi isn't the naked woman we've seen in Game of Thrones.
Well, she had a body double, right, Ben? You're the one who first told us this.
Yeah, but then she got very jealous about people like Gareth going, oh, so there's a body double that I care about. And then she came back from the fire naked.
Oh, that makes sense.
And in that first season, it was her. Because she wasn't a big star yet.
Well, she was coming in out of the bath in that one scene, so it had to be her. But then some of the closer, intimate scenes, then it became this other person.
Well, yeah.
I'll tell you what, the new Game of Thrones season is only 6 episodes, apparently. And it's the last season, and they've got 6 episodes to wow us.
Isn't there? There's 2 seasons.
No, it's not the last.
Really?
The season coming now, and then the next one is the guaranteed last season. Oh. People are already starting to get like
all
outraged.
I'm saying is,
how do we know it's guaranteed?
Because that George R.R.R. Martin is not enough. He physically will not write anymore. They keep saying, go, George, write. They're hitting him with the writing whip. And he's going, no, no,
no.
No more.
I feel like it's a money making machine, so they'll continue. But I think it must be very awkward to be a bum double. Like, as an actor, you take your craft seriously, but you are only hired on this production.
I did.
To come at, like, you know, 11 a.m., You need to be naked, and you don't have any lines. You just need to lie on your side.
Well, it's like this awesomeness.
Close up shots, like, and you leave.
There's no pressure. They powder your bum for lighting purposes, and then you go.
Do you get your bum powdered?
Well, I mean, yes. If you go in there, imagine, with look your at that now.
Well. I don't know how many bums you've seen in your life, but there are very few that are so perfect.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's how you know that they've worked on those bums to enhance how they look.
There's cellulite, there are ass pimples.
Oh, yeah. Man.
There's stretch marks. There's that stuff needs to get covered.
Hairy assholes. It's just bad. So, yeah, it's not a happy place. I mean, to be able to show your backside on television or on movies, you have to be super, super hot.
I would love that to be a job. Imagine all you do is you got a great ass.
What do you put on LinkedIn?
Ass, just your ass picture.
You don't waste time on LinkedIn. You're too busy putting your ass in movies.
And getting paid for it. I mean, exactly. What a perfect, you have the world's most famous backside.
But as well, when you think about it, it is a business. Going back to your makeup point, Gareth, you know, I would understand if, you know, the toughest of the tough, like Brad Pitt, still puts makeup on just to attend an audition, even though he hardly doesn't even need to attend auditions anymore.
Yeah.
But you think about it, it's a $20 million payday.
Right.
You want to impress people.
It's worth looking your best.
Yeah. Even if you're going to lunch to schmooze up a producer.
I mean, it's just, there are guys in Hollywood who wear makeup all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
And I've heard that about you, Jackman. Anyway, here, makeup is not for everyone, somebody says here. Some look really beautiful, others just abuse makeup by drawing a mask on their face. In Afrikaans, we call it a gesiggie boer op a gesiggie.
Well, I think that has a lot to do with how skilled you are in the application of the makeup, which is why makeup artists are as essential as they are. Because, you know,
the difference between a good makeup artist and a bad one,
it's all about the application process.
Plenty more men than you think wear tinted moisturizers. Is that what it's called? Have their eyebrows and lashes colored and have Botox and fillers and other aesthetic procedures. I work in the industry. Take my word for it.
There was a bit of a scandal a couple of years ago where rugby players were revealed to be taking Botox because they spend so much time in like the sun and outside and that kind of stuff. And there are loads of them apparently get Botoxed.
See, and I'm already thinking, yeah, they do the close-up shots on their faces when they sing the national anthem. Adults are just, you know.
You want a bit of help.
Zhuzh up a bit.
You don't look like old Bill Tong.
It's got to be embarrassing, though, when you're in a scrum and your makeup rubs off on the other guy's jersey.
Well, in Wales, where everyone's orange, I knew this guy who played rugby in Wales, and he said it was the weirdest thing. You go into a ruck and all you smell is self-tan. It's like, what the hell's going on here? I'm playing like the manliest sport on earth, and all I can smell is like Hawaiian tropic going on here.
But I mean,
that's funny.
That I don't have an issue with men take care of themselves. They should be trying to look their best.
But for a rugby game, you like a bit of DP around the balls go. It's like, no, hang, have you got that bronzer? No, not number 14. Number 12. Wow. Have you got number 12?
I'm here for that party. I don't care. Like, you can even put, you know, those fake fans just so that your hair now blows. I imagine that, you know, in a line out. And the camera pans and zooms in close. I'm fine with it.
I can imagine now the guy's taking a kick at the post and there's the fanboy.
Yes.
They touch his makeup up and then they got the close-up on his face.
Imagine Patrick Lambie with his golden locks, you know, now flowing in the wind.
This sounds like a Beyonce music video, not like rugby.
I'm here for
that. It's very weird. All right, we've got to wrap this up because we've got a guest coming in to chat to us. Let me give you an idea of what else is on the lineup today. We've got Ben's sports show later on. We've got Rami and Romeo with Belighted. We have the Leadership Platform with Adrian Groenewald and company, including the Youth Leadership Platform and all of that brought to you by Sibanye Gold. And then on into your afternoon, there's plenty more where that came from. But just for today, Noqolo Dlamini is the new Sarafina.
Hey, yes, that's right. They're doing a little comeback kind of situation, aren't they?
That's right. And Noqolo has been chosen and discovered by Mbongeni Ngema and his company. And they're going to put together a brand new Sarafina for us. Isn't that cool?
I've been hearing good reviews about it. It's in Pretoria.
Yeah.
And with Dr. Ngema. I think Mbongeni Ngema is now a doctor.
He's Dr. Ngema.
Look at that. That's correct. Yeah.
And she's only 23 years old, and she's geared up for this really big task. I think it's it'll be fun to talk to her, figure out where she's from, what her story is, and then you can join in the fun by WhatsApping us 0797482090 or WeChat or Twitter, or you can even Skype us on Cliff Central, one word. Do you like it?
We love it.
Right. Get in. By the way, you can also email us if you need to. I mean, I love getting the emails, and I do try to get through every single one of them. Gareth@cliffcentral.com if you want to get hold of me. It's that simple. All right, let's go. Let's get everybody on their way on this Monday, shall we? Cliffcentral.com.